father and mother, I don't think they're here today, but I absolutely love and honor my parents so much. I mean, they did what they had to do to raise us the best way they could. Amen. Now, my mom is my everything. She was the core of who I was because she raised three boys all on her own. And so, something like today, I call her up and I say, "Hey, mom, happy Father's Day," right? And she says, so it's that serious to where my mom is my everything. Like, if you say something about my mom and talk about mama, you're going to see me like this. What's up? Say something else. Say something. Because I'm going to lay hands on you. And then I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to lay hands on you. And resurrect you from the canvas. It's that serious. Now, God is working through me, you know, but that's just how we were raised. My father boxed and he was golden gloves. And my mom, I see my mama fight for us when we were kids. And so that's how we grew up. Like, she would throw down for us. You know, she would throw down. She got locked up because she fought for us one time. It was that serious. It was that serious. So this message right here, it was hard for me to get out. And last year I preached on Father's Day. And it was tough, too, because physically I don't have any children. But I'm still praising God and praying for the promise that he's going to bless me with children one day. So, you know, I stand on that. And so it was tough to come out here and preach to the fathers, not being a physical father myself. But anybody remember my two cats, Zena and Frankie? Hey, yo, Zena! Yeah, okay. Here we go. That's Frankie right there. That's me and her. And the next one. That's Zena right there. Hey, yo, Zena. So I'm a fur parent. So I am a dad. And I accept and I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I receive that. So, hey, if you have your notes this morning, I want you to break those out. Break out your notes. If you don't have any paper, you could go on your connection card or whatever. Break out your notes, your smartphones, whatever you take notes on, your iPhones, your Obama phones, whatever you got. And we're going to take a look at Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. And when you guys find that, I want you to stand out of reverence for God's word as we read Proverbs 22:6. And we'll be reading out of the New King James Version. So if you don't have that version, it'll be right here on the screen. And I know many of us have read this, quoted it, misquoted it, and all that other good stuff. Proverbs 22:6 in the New King James Version. Now, before we do that, we're going to read our Bible affirmation, right? So go ahead and lift your Bibles or your electronic device high in the air and say, "This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who he says I am. I can do what it says I can do, and I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that'll change my life forever." Amen. Let us read Proverbs 22:6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I'll pray. Father, this is a long prayer. Bear with me. Holy Spirit, speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, and you guys can have your seats. So I'll be preaching on the subject of who trained you. And if I had a subtitle, it would be Retraining Day. Because I like Denzel Washington and it's Training Day. Fathers, we like those action movies, right? Retraining Day. So go ahead and write those down. It's going to be Who Trained You and Retraining Day. How many believe or feel like sometimes we got to be retrained? We got to be retrained, right? So today I want to look at Proverbs 22:6. And I'm going to try to stand behind here because sometimes I get a little boom. I start running this way and running that way. I might even jump off the stage sometimes, right? I did last week. So I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to teach this word right here, if I may. You guys should be looking at your notes anyways. So today, this scripture in Proverbs 22:6 was used many times as a discipline your children verse or a promise that your kids will, if you teach them the right way, that they will never do the wrong things, right? But how many know that that's not always the case? Because we all know when they hit those teenage know-it-all years and they feel like they got it all figured out, right, and it gets tough. I mean, it wasn't too long for me. It was about 20 years ago or something, right? I still feel like that. Yeah, I know it all, right? God, like, you still young. Quiet yourself, right? So because kids, but I want to spend a little time unpacking this verse, right? And if you have the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible, I didn't bring it up here because I got it all right here. If you have that in the bottom, it's going to bring that verse to life. It's going to put it in detail on what it truly means. And I'm going to summarize it. It says, Train up has the idea of a parent teaching a child wisdom, love, nurture, and the discipline that is needed for him to become fully committed to God. In the way he should go is to do the training according to the unique personalities, gifts, and aspirations of that child. Now, this verse isn't a guarantee against wayward children, but a general spiritual principle that restates the idea of seed sown in the early years of a child's life may not bring forth fruit until later years. Somebody say later years. Later years. It says when he gets old, not older. And so sometimes we even look at some of the kids in the church like, you go to church and you still acting up. Well, how many of us been in church, raised in church, and we still all jacked up? Come on, if we need more than an hour on a Sunday, imagine what your kids need. We got them all over the place in school programs, baseball, football practice, and then they come to church, and they're usually, they're kids. Let kids be kids, right? But we can't be jumping all over them, right? Now, if we look at Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Being a parent is putting in good work. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You got to have faith that seeds that you are sowing in a child's life now will eventually produce a good harvest. Amen? So it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Well, how do we know which way a child should go? When in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that God says that he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 is a call for us to pray and to seek and to search God, that he will be found, that we can believe that he has good plans for us and that he has a plan and a hope for our future. Amen. Now, if we look at Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you up, I sanctified you. That means set apart. Before and while you were in the womb, you were set apart from everyone else, uniquely made and crafted. That's why it's important for parents to seek God and understand that God has callings and gifts in each and every one of us. And for us to ask him and to reveal to us those gifts and callings that he has for your child, that you can learn how to teach it and call it out of them. Amen? Now, I know this isn't scripture, but how many would say that it takes a village to raise a child? Right? You guys would agree to that? Now, imagine a single parent doing it all by him or herself. Now, I look around and I see a few of us out there. You know, it's difficult, and I salute you. I applaud you. I seen my mother do it. Amen. Praise God. You see, the mother was designed to be the teacher and the nurturer, to care for and be responsible for the emotional needs of the family, among everything, a lot of other things, right? Now, the father was designed to provide provision, protection, security for their families, being the head and leading their family, among other things, right? Now, without them fulfilling their roles in the family, especially without having God filling in the gaps, imagine what's happening. There's cracks in the foundation, amen? And any builder will tell you that what's the most important part of a building or a structure? What is it? The foundation. So if your foundation is shaky, how can you build on top of it? If your parents or your father was never around to teach you certain things, how much? It's just, that's why in Matthew 7:24, God says, build on rock. You guys remember that verse? When the stream comes and it beats vehemently, you got to be built on rock or your whole house is going to collapse. Amen? So for my first point, and I want you guys to write this down, is who trained you? Who trained you? See, some of us been in church our whole lives and got spiritual parents who raised us up, but we're still all jacked up. I said it earlier, we're jacked up. Now, I wasn't raised in church, so I was really jacked up. But that's why I'm always, and some of my friends used to tell me, man, you always at church. I said, you right, bruh, because I was jacked up. You know what I'm saying? But this is why I'm in Bible study every Wednesday and Sunday service and OSL all these years, all the five levels, and teaching the kids in the back, and I'm on the AV and the worship team, and you're always gonna see my face because I'm getting in my word, I'm studying the word, and it's vital to being a follower and disciple of Jesus because I'm shifting the dynamics of my family. I'm breaking generational curses. I'm preparing a legacy for my children. See, You guys and the friends can do whatever they want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, amen? We're going to serve the Lord. See, I don't know why I'm so hype already, because this word is just, it cuts, right? Now, if you think about it, Joshua said, as for me and my house, it starts with him. Fathers, it starts with you. You can't have your wife or your kids serving in the church and doing their thing, but you're sitting back. Fathers, we got to lead as well. You got to come to a point in life where it starts with me, and I'm going to take ownership of my family. So now, what if your parents or those who raised you trained you wrong? And everything you were taught wasn't based on godly principles, but merely on their own experience, right? So what if they just brought you their experience and they actually trained you wrong? Now, some of us will raise our kids the same exact way. If your father wasn't around, you would think that was okay. If your mom was too busy, you would think that was okay. Now, I want to ask, who trained you? Because when you start a new job, your employer usually puts you with the best trainer or somebody who's already doing the job, and they teach you the right way, and it's better to be trained the right way than having to be retrained, right? So as a child, we had no say in that. We didn't pick our parents. We didn't pick our families. We just took for what they said or whoever raised us, whatever they did and whatever they say, we took that as the way to go. But if we look at Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So some of us were trained wrong, and now we're older and we can't depart from those ways. Now, if you grew up in a home with abusive parents, or you saw your father lie, cheat, and disappear, or your mom was working 10 jobs and she didn't have the emotional stability to be there for you, or she was lost, then you would grow up to kind of think that that's just the way it is. Now, growing up, my mom and dad had one of those, it's complicated relationships. You know, they would fight, make up, break up, fight, break up, make up, and until they finally just separated when we were young. And so growing up, I didn't have a father figure immediately in the house. They would just separate. And so growing up as a married man now, there's some things that I'm learning how to deal with that I wasn't taught. How to truly love my wife. How to submit. How to forgive. How to lead my family. How to be there, how to talk out issues. You know, we look in the movies, and they don't really show you the day in and the day out. Usually the scene skips to the next day, and you don't understand how did they sit and humble themselves and talk out the issues to make a marriage work. Amen? Now, growing up, I wasn't taught these things. I had to learn them through premarital counseling and things like that, and so I had to be intentional about what I'm doing, how to be a husband, how to be a servant, how to be a follower of Christ. Amen? So who trained you to be who you are today? Now, because the way my parents, their situation was set up, I didn't have a father figure in the house. So I started to look up to my older brother for guidance and training, right? I mean, I wanted to be just like him. He was a lot taller than me, right? He was a stud at baseball and football, and he had all the girls, and he had all the nice clothes, all the Fila gear. Remember back in the 90s? You know what I mean? And I couldn't wait for him to grow out of those clothes and his shoes. Man, I would jump right in them. Sometimes I'd go in there and I'd scuff him, because he didn't want to wear no scuffed shoes, right? So I'd scuff him myself. Be like, hey, bro, your shoes are scuffed. Let me get those. You know what I mean? But when I was 12, he was 16. And this was about the time when I was introduced to weed, to cigarettes, to alcohol. And I watched everything he did, and I wanted to do the same exact things. And so I began to partake in those things. That's who I was following, right? And then one day somebody laced his weed with PCP, and it just flipped him out, and he was never the same. And to this day, he's diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. That's why you guys can't be doing no drugs. Now, from the age when I was 17 years old, I had back surgery, and this was about the time where I built on an addiction to prescription pills. So from the age of 15 to when I was 29, I was addicted to weed, cigarettes, alcohol, prescription pills. I was angry. I was depressed. I was built and bound by lust and all these things, and I had no idea how to get out of it. I had nobody to tell me and show me what I was going through. I wasn't taught how to express my emotions. And so from the age of 15 to 29, I was struggling. I was bound by all of those things, amen, until I started coming to this church. And that's when I learned about the true love of God. And that's when I learned about God and what he says, right? And how I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that he has a plan and a purpose for my life, that I don't have to be bound by addictions, and that I am set apart, and that he has a promise for my life. I started leaning on the word of God, and that's what completely changed me. That's what transformed me. And that's why I serve the way I serve today, because I know what I was bound from. And sometimes you won't know what you are bound by until you're free from it, until you are free from it. Amen. Now, so for the past 6 years, I've been in retraining mode. Somebody say retraining. Retraining. Sometimes we got to be retrained. Now, there were some very valuable things that my parents did teach us. So I'm not discrediting them by any means. I love my parents, and I thank God. If we didn't go through what we did, I probably wouldn't be here today. Amen? I remember Pastor B said something to me many, many years ago. I said, man, sometimes we want to go back and change some things. And he said, nope, not me. Because if that was the case, then I probably wouldn't be who I am today. You look at us now, and sometimes we have to go that way to come right way, right? So my next question for you today is, who's training you? Go ahead and write that down. Who's training you today? Now, this question is specifically for those who are here today who are trying to break generational curses, or who are trying to break some soul ties, who are trying to shift the atmosphere, who are trying to change the outcome of a bad hand, who are trying to fix what was broken, who are trying to repair the cracks in their foundation and be built on rock. Amen. Who's training you? Who's training you today? Are you still hanging out with those old friends who you really don't trust, but you know, you guys go way back, so you're still hanging out? Ladies, you still watching Real Housewives? Proclaiming that in the air that all men are cheaters? And you're taking your relationship struggles to single people who've been hurt, been damaged, and you're trying to take their advice? Men, are you still chilling with them boys who be hollering at anything that passes by? Who might be married but still cheat and sleep around? This is real good. This is real good. Who's training you? Who's training you? Because if you're trying to set yourself apart and be who God is calling you to be, you shouldn't be associating with those people, right? That's old news. That's old stuff. And so who's training you today? Kids, do we have two Instagram accounts? One for the family, one for the friends? Or we be on Snapchat talking to the wrong people? What y'all doing? Who's training you? Who's training you? Because if you're trying to set yourself apart, you shouldn't be there. That hit me because I had to log off my accounts too. I'm like, what am I doing? What's up? Man, and say, check this out. Man, I can't stress this enough how important the word of God, to be in your word of God and in God's presence. I talked last week about how God made man first and set him apart and placed him in the Garden of Eden, right? A place of paradise in his presence. We are supposed to be in God's presence. That was how it was originally created. Amen? And so you got to ask God for a plan and a purpose for your family so that you can properly lead your family. Amen. Now, I also mentioned last week when Jonathan was preaching, that was a good word, brother. I mentioned last week about Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas, right? You guys heard of those guys? We all got to have a Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas. So your Paul is your mentor, right, who is pouring into you wisdom and showing you and guiding you. And your Timothy is the one who you are pouring into, right? And your Barnabas are those who are around you, who are challenging you and who are encouraging you. Amen. Now, Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. And that's why I love that ISI group. That's what that is. Iron sharpens iron. And so you want to get in that group if you're a young adult. And, you know, even adults, too. Y'all should jump in there. Pastor Jen crashed it. See, we need healthy relationships to win at life. Amen. You got to have a strong support system. Men, we got to fellowship with other men that are in the word who you can trust, who will hold you accountable. Each and every one of us should have a mentor, a personal accountability partner, who is a believer who hears from God, who you could trust, and who could tell you when you're slipping up, when you're acting out of character, when your doo-doo stinking. Because sometimes we just walk about like we know what we're doing, and you be like, bro, you walking in flesh. But you got to have that. You got to have the men around you to do that. Isaiah 64:8 says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So fathers and everyone in here, you are still a work in progress. Nothing is set in stone until you are dead and gone. And every day is an opportunity for you to change, to develop, to be retrained. And this is not just for the fathers. This is for the kids and the ladies as well. Allow God to pour out his love on you and explain to you who you are, to pour out wisdom on you so you can properly lead your family. Amen. Now, husbands, here goes some quick advice that I'm even taking this one in. It says, you want your wife to submit? You got to commit to her and to the vision. You want her to follow, then you got to leave. You got to lead. Give her a reason to follow. Show her that you have a plan and a purpose. And you won't have no problem with that. You want respect? First, you got to respect yourselves. Give respect and be respectful. You want your kids to be to honor you? You got to be honorable. You got to be honorable. Now, my point number three is, you want to write this down, who are you training? So we said, who trained you, who's training you, and who are you training? Because whether you realize it or not, you're setting an example to somebody somewhere. You have a direct effect on those who are watching you, the kids that are watching you, the coworkers that are watching you. It's like you proclaim Jesus, and this is me, not even just last week. You proclaim Jesus on your job, right? And in the same breath, you're talking about the next man, right? We do that. We get out of church, headed to breakfast. Somebody cuts us off, and what do? You mom, you know? It just happens. But I've seen my father do that, and I watched it, and it's just a word. And my wife would tell me, she'd be like, yo, bro, what you doing? You were just in church. I said, no, I'm all jacked up. That's why I'm in church. But she said, imagine if your kids were in the back. See, she'd be cutting me up. She said, imagine if your kids were in the back. They're going to grow up to be just like you. I said, you're right. Lord, you are worthy of it all. And I go right back. Hey, that's what happens. Now, mamas, you tell your daughter to don't let anybody mistreat you, right? But they let other people mistreat you. Siblings, you have brothers and sisters. You tell your siblings that, I got your back. Don't even worry about it. But then the very next minute, you're the first one to put them down. What kind of example are we setting? Who are we teaching? What are we teaching? Now, are you living a life worth being imitated? Because if you're a follower of Christ, you ought to be setting an example. Amen? Now, we have this saying, and we all know it, do as I say. See, we all know that. But if you want your kids to do as you say, you got to be willing to do the same. Let them not learn by what you say, but how you live. Amen. Model to them what it means to be a man of integrity, a man that is grace-filled, a man that is gracious and loving and caring. And, you know, your children are going to imitate whatever they see, whether it's good or it's bad. Be a man of integrity. Let them see you how you interact with people, how you handle trying or stressful situations. Don't just run out and do something. Let them see you handle those issues. Let them see you how to pay bills. Let them see you how to treat a woman, right? So, fathers, you are very, very valuable in your children's life. Your impact on their life is generational. It's not just for today. It's not just for tomorrow. It's generational. The things that you teach them now, they're going to teach their children growing up. Amen? Now, no amount of toys or money can compare to your physical presence. Your emotional love and your unconditional love and compassion is what they really need. We saw the video on announcements that even grown men still yearn for hugs, still yearn for love. Some of us grow up and sometimes, like, it was very emotional this morning when you had the women speak life over the men. I felt it was very emotional because what's happening is there's a lot of mothers that didn't have mothers growing up. And there's a lot of sons who didn't have fathers growing up. And it gets tough and it gets emotional. There's some stuff that there's a void in our hearts that we're looking to fill in everything else. But if we allow Jesus into our hearts and to fill that void and to fill that gap and allow God to pour out his love, we can be transformed. So as your children seek approval from you saying, watch me. I've done that to my father. I still do that to my dad. Yo, Pop, watch this. Yo, watch me. Remember as kids we used to do that, and your kids are probably doing the same thing. Yo, dad, yo, mom, watch me. Right? Because they're seeking your approval, your affirmation. They want to please you. They want you to be excited about them, right? So let us do the same thing to them. Let us do the same thing for them. When it comes to learning how to, this needs to be quiet. When it comes to learning how to pray, say, son, watch me. When it comes to learning how to worship or serve God, watch me. When it comes to learning how to serve the community or learning how to treat women, when your son says, how do I treat girls? Son, watch me. Watch how I treat your mom and how I love. Don't let them go about their business doing their own thing, because if you look in another Proverbs where it says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, right? They don't know what's going on. They foolish, we foolish, right? But if you let them go about their business, we're going to do foolish things. Adults, we still do foolish things. Grab the hand of your child. Now, you don't got to hold their hand the whole way. They got to grow up and be their own man and own woman too. But you got to lead them. You got to show them. Because what's happening is we're looking around at our kids and we're saying, man, look at these kids, they're spoiled. And this is another thing. We put our kids down a lot nowadays. Because what happens is we'd be like, you're spoiled, you're always on your phone, you're always on this. But imagine if we had that stuff back in the days. We'd be doing the same exact thing. We'd be doing the same thing. And so what happens is, oh, these kids don't respect us. They don't listen to their parents because we're constantly putting them down. Now, this term came from a great man and a great person. He says, and this is about being smart and all that stuff. He says, I've been your age, so I know. But you haven't been my age, right? That came from a good man. But listen, Jesus was 12 years old preaching in the synagogue. God speaks to your children. If you don't believe that, you say those things. But listen, God speaks to your children. So we got to learn that God can speak to your child. That's still going to correct you as a parent, amen? So honor them, respect them, and treat them that their opinions are valuable as well. What happens is we shut them down. And then later on, it's like, well, why don't you listen to me? Because you ain't listening to me. And then it's back and forth, right? Then y'all got beef. You're going to see me like this. Watch when you get old and crusty and you want your kids to change your diaper, right? This is real stuff, right? This is real stuff. This is real stuff. Let me get back to this message. We're going on an hour now. No. So if you think about it, your children spend about 32.5 hours a week in school, right? They spend about 4 hours a week on homework, if not more. I was a sluggard. I spent longer than that, and I still didn't get it right. And you give them about an hour on screen time or stuff. That means that a week, you're not able to spend quality time with your children, right? And this isn't counting the fact that you still working full time. You're still working overtime hours. You're still running errands, getting the groceries, doing the laundry. So when are you really, really, really spending quality time with your children? That's why every minute, every second, and every day counts in a child and parent relationship. What are those moments that you're doing without them? Fathers, you're not just raising a child. You're raising a future father, a future husband, a future leader in the community, a future president. But if you're not speaking life into them, what happens is the cycle is going to continue. It's going to continue. It's going to continue to the way you were raised, to the way you raised your children, to the way they raised their children. Is that true? That's very true. Now, you got to be gracious to your children, loving and forgiving as God is to you. You have the opportunity to reflect Father God's love in their life. How you treat your children is how they will think Father God will treat them. If you're forgiving, they're going to think God is forgiving. If you're stern and aggressive and abusive, they're going to think Father God is like that. I didn't realize the relationship that I had with my father is how my relationship with God was in the beginning. I didn't think that he loved me. Like, I didn't think that he was everything. And see, God wants to be the Lord over everything, not just your finances, not just your health, not just your job and stuff like that. He wants to be everything, everything to you, everything to you. But if you don't allow him to, how can he work through and through you, right? So become a team in setting family goals. That's why it's important to have visions and set yourself apart. Men, you got to go first. Men, join your wife in creating a vision for your family, but you got to meet with God. But also include your children in the vision. Allow God to pour in the vision into them so you guys can create it as a team. It's not an I, it's not a we, it's all of us. It's all of us, amen? Now, children, you guys got to play your part too. Because while your mom or your dad is working full-time and working overtime and busting their butt and just to provide, and we're not giving them the credit that they deserve, if we want to spend time with our parents, we got to be home at least washing some dishes. We got to be washing some clothes. Keep the house clean so when they come home, they can actually spend time with you, right? Or else they're going to have to do all those things. And that beat me up too, because I remember as a teenager, my mom would work full-time, commute all the way home, and still had to cook, still had to clean, still had to do all that stuff. And then she had an hour to herself just to watch Lifetime movies, right, and then go to sleep. And then we crawl right up in her bed. Mama, scratch my back and watch Lifetime with you, right? But can we help our parents out? Can we help our parents out? Now, I know none of us grew up in a perfect household, and maybe you didn't receive the love and affirmation you needed, and it's possible that you did grow up in a good household with good parents, but you still felt lonely or unloved. I want you to know that Father God loves you. And it's completely crazy about you, that you are the apple of his eye, that you are his daily delight. OSL people, y'all remember that, daily delight? God loves you so, so much. So even if we didn't experience that growing up, we still had that opportunity with Father God. Amen? Allow God to pour his love into us. I'm going to close right here. Psalm 68:5 says, he will be a father to the fatherless. And if you look at 2 Corinthians 6:18, God says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. So if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, then you have been adopted into royalty. You are a son and a daughter of a king who loves you, who is proud of you, who wants to pour his life right into you. Amen. Allow Father God to fill you up today, to retrain you, to show you how to train your children up into the ways that they should go. Amen. See, God will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a fact. But if we've never seen that growing up, there will be some struggle there. I remember waiting every other weekend, and there was days on Fridays where I'd be waiting with my bags packed, and we're at the window, me and my little brother, and we're looking out, Pops is coming. And there was some times when he didn't show up. And Mom was looking there very disappointed. She'd be calling him up arguing, right? And so I didn't realize that would hinder my relationship with Father God. That when I was calling out to him, or when he said that he would not leave me nor forsake me, but my past experience with my natural father was saying something different. That's why it's important for fathers to be there for their children, to be about your word, to be about your business. You can't tell them to stay committed into the things, but they see you doing something different. We have the greatest opportunity to reflect Father God's love in our children. Amen. See, allow Father God to transform you, to retrain you, to reassure you that you are loved, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are his workmanship, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are gracious, that you are going to be a great father, that you can lead your family, that you are a great husband, right? That you are the head and not the tail. I didn't hear these things growing up. I didn't know about the Word of God until I was 29, until I started diving into the Word and coming into this church and hearing it, that I am the lender, not the borrower. And there was so much that I was able to accomplish in 6 years that I haven't been able to accomplish all my life, that my parents couldn't even accomplish because they didn't know the Word of God. That's why he says that I will not leave you nor forsake you, that if I am for you, who can be against you? That if I am for you, who? Like, who can be against you if God is for you? He is the God who split the Red Sea, amen? He is a gracious God, a loving God, and a mighty God. a mighty God, a Father God who loves you. Amen. See, listen, what is Philippians 4:13 says? Say that out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to be able to teach those words to your children. When it comes to teaching them, watch me pray. Sit with them at night. There's another verse where he says that you ought to speak about God when? When you're walking, when you lay down at night, when you're doing all the things. Speak God's love into their life. Amen? Now, we're going to close here, but I want to honor the men in this house because we have a little gift for you guys. And if Pastor Jen, can you help me with this? To get kids to help out. Good,
All right, so let's start with great grandfather. So is anyone in the house happen to be a great grandfather? Yes, Mr. Pennywell. Please stand, Mr. Pennywell. That is truly an honor. Thank you, Mr. Pennywell. Do we have grandfathers in the house? Are you taller than me? Grandfathers. All right, stay standing. We got to recognize you. Yes. And Mark in the back. Someone don't forget Mark, please. Our grandfathers. I know. They look good. They don't look like their grandfathers. And then our fathers. So if you are a father, please stand so we can honor you. We have a journal. It's a journal, right? A journal that is coming back to you to help cultivate what Renee talked about. And the scripture is Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. It's one of my favorite scriptures, so please make sure you look at that. Okay, fathers. Okay, give our fathers a round of applause really quick. All right, now, fathers, you can have a seat, but if you are a man, I want you to stand. Because Renee talked about speaking positive words over our men. So if you are a man, I want you standing. Because we are declaring over you that you too will be fathers one day. And some of you are like, I don't want kids. It's okay. Spiritual kids are good too. But keep standing, people. Come on. Stand in the back. Don't sit down. That'll call you out. Okay. All right, young men, I want you guys to receive a journal too because it is important for you guys to be walking as men of God as well. So if you guys can go and give our men a round of applause and give them a journal. And then our young men as well. So if you are a young man and you would say, I'm not grown and I'm not anywhere near having children, that's my boys, stand up, please, because one day you will be fathers. And so, ladies, please make sure Nathan gets one. Make sure Jordan and Caleb get one, too. Hey, you're never too young to start hearing from God. And you're never too young to start recording what God says to you. It's important. All right, we good? Did I miss anybody in the house? Adam, we missed Adam. Faithful. Adam. Adam was regulating this morning, people. It was fun. All right. Okay, everybody good? All right, before we close today, if you are in need of prayer today, our prayer team will be up here. So if you need healing in your body or you just need a boost from somebody today, please make sure you come up and ask for prayer today. That's why we're here. We love to do it, and it breaks things when you pray with people, right? Okay, I'm also going to ask you to do one more thing. I want you to make sure you are encouraging the men in your life, encouraging fathers and encouraging men, because honestly, this is true. Women, we can be critical. And sometimes we talk a lot more about what people aren't doing than what they are doing. And so I want to encourage us as ladies, be encouraging to the men in your life today because they need it. They're fighting a lot of stuff out there in the world, and it helps when we can just encourage them, right? All right, and then I want you to encourage Renee. Amen. So give him a round of applause. Renee is doing a good work, and that was a great word today, Renee. And I want you to know God speaks through who he wants to speak through. And it does not matter where you think you are and where your status is, and you don't have to be a father to teach us how to be better leaders and to teach our men how to be better fathers. And I think you did that today, and you did it well. So thank you for pushing through whatever you were feeling to be able to bring a word. And I want to encourage you like Paul encouraged Timothy, because he told Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you. Don't let anyone look down on you because of where you are in life. But you do what God has told you to do. So I want to encourage you with that. All right, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. And as you go about your week, when someone asks how you're doing, may your response be that you are blessed and highly favored. Ooh.